Ezekiel 2:2 says, he spake the word, and the spirit of the word entered me and put me on my feet. The Bible says he sent his word, and the word healed them and delivered them from their destruction. It's about the word of God. The word of God is the original source of power. Pray this morning that, Lord, send your word to me and help me to know you more. Reveal your word to me. Reveal yourself to me. I want to know you more in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's pray for ourselves this morning. The church is a spiritual gathering, and the whole essence is to know him, that I may know him, that he may increase while I decrease. Pray for yourself this morning. That, Lord, send your word to me. I will not come to the church in vain today, in the mighty name of Jesus. The word of God is for transformation. Say, Father, let this transformative power of your word enter me today, in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let somebody shout a big hallelujah. A bigger hallelujah. If the Lord has been good to you, can you shout a bigger hallelujah? From January 1st today, if you have anything to thank the Lord for, jump up and shout a big hallelujah. Help me look at your neighbor. Say to your neighbor, say the Lord is good. Say to another one, the Lord is faithful. Another bigger hallelujah as you sit down this morning. Hallelujah is one of the most powerful things you can say when you wake up and before you sleep. God is faithful. It's a privilege to be here again today. I do not take it for granted. I say a big thank you for our reverend and the church leadership for the opportunity to come and share the word of God. And this morning, I will be sharing on grace for greatness. Say grace for greatness. By virtue of redemption, you are redeemed to be great. Say to yourself, I am redeemed to be great. It's part of your redemptive package. It's one of those things inside the well of salvation that the Bible says, with joy shall you draw. You are to draw greatness. That's why the Bible says you are like a city set upon the hill that cannot be hidden. You have inside you everything it takes to be great. Everything. He said, it is finished. Everything I need to do for you to attain greatness, I have done it. The responsibility to be great or not to be great is now yours. No witches, no wizard can stop you from being a great person. None. None. If you are a great person, it is in your hand. If you are not going to be great, it's also in your hand. But for God, he has done his own part. And I pray the seasons of life will not pass you from being great in Jesus' name. You know, there are times it might be over. But thank God for the God who have the power and the capacity to redeem time. You see, when I was looking at this subject, I never even knew it's so great and so much. At a point, I was asking the Holy Spirit that with these things I've learned, is it not too late for some people to still be great? I was shocked the response the Holy Spirit gave to me. I put it here immediately on this sticky. And it says, there is second chance for some people to be great. And what is the second chance? To raise great children. That you can raise great children. Because some people, because of their belief system, is almost impossible. You know, the scripture God gave to me for this message even shocks me myself. Can you please give us Matthew 7, 13 and 14? Because I was asking, why are so many people not great? Why are so many people in the world not attaining greatness? And the Bible took me to Matthew 7, 13 and 14. I want us to read it together. If you are there, shout hallelujah. Let's read. One, two, go. Now 14. Let's read the 14 very well. Shout it. Few dare do what? Find it. Say find. But the one that is broad, very accessible to everybody. But this one that leads to greatness, very few. Is the same thing with the journey of greatness. The same thing with the journey of greatness. The discipline, determination that making heaven entails is the same discipline, determination that being great also entails. That's why so many people end up life as a mediocre, average. It's like being in the university. 100 people will enter for a course. How many will have first class? Maybe 3 or 4. Ask them what they put in, those that have first class. Definitely, it's not the same thing that those who made second class, lower, or whatever put in. They always put in something, they call it extra. It is the discipline for extra to become extraordinary that makes a lot of people to end up in life as mediocre, and that makes a lot of people in the Christendom to also go the way of the broad road, which leads to hell. Can you please help me put up Isaiah 5? Isaiah 5, I think 14. My people are gone into captivity. Isaiah 5, 14. Look at it. No, sorry, let's start from 13. You will see why the broad road is very wide. He said, therefore, my people, who are God talking to? Who are the people God calling my people? His children, the born again Christians, they are his people. He said, therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. 14. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself to do what? And open her mouth without what? Measure. To do what? To consume. That's why the road is very broad, and so many are rushing in. The same thing with the journey of greatness. The discipline required for people to make it in life, so many cannot do it. The Bible says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arm, so shall thy poverty come. You can't love sleep and be a great person. No. Great people don't sleep too much. They don't. They only sleep few minutes, few hours. They are fresh and they do things and they end up great being great in life. So friends, this morning I'm going to be looking at some reasons why people are not great and why some are great. There's this scripture that we are very familiar with. The scripture is in Joshua 1:8. Can you please put up Joshua 1:8. That's Joshua 1:8. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to tell you something there, why a lot of people are not great. The day I saw the meaning of this word, it shocks me. It says, this book of the law. Do you have the book? If you have it, shout a big hallelujah. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest do what? I want to hear it. Observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have a good success. What he's saying is, thou mayest observe and to do according to what is written, then thou shalt become great. Say, become great. Now, there's a word there. The word is observe. Have you ever gone to the dictionary to look at that meaning, the meaning of observe? You know, I've always assumed I know the meaning of observe until I went to look at the meaning of observe and also talk to scientists. Observe means, it means to conform one's action or practice, something such as law, right, or condition to comply with. It means to inspect or to take note as an augur or omen. It means to watch carefully, especially with attention to details or behavior for the purpose of arriving at a judgment. Is there any chemistry student here? Go and ask a chemistry student. When they do titration, when you do titration, can you be doing titration and also be reading WhatsApp message? No. Can you be doing titration and be listening to gossip? No. You have to give it all your what? Attention. Because you are going to, you see, in science, 0.0001 means a lot. 0.001 mistake can alter the whole thing. That is the word God used in his Bible. That is why the Bible says, he says, study to show yourself approved as a workman. Diligence is the number one rule in the school of greatness. That's why the Bible says, show me a man that is diligent. He will stand before who? Kings are not mere men. How many of us are diligent in the issues of life? Even in the issues of the kingdom. How many of us are diligent? The Bible says, guard your heart with what? With all what? Diligence. For out of it are what? The issues of greatness. The issues of life. You see, the discipline, I repeat, it takes to be great. So many cannot pay it. They can't pay the price. They can't. It's the same way. The discipline to make heaven is beyond coming to church as a ritual. In the recent time, I've given a lot of attention to the issues of heaven. You see, there's always something that guides me. There was a statement Reverend Ige made some years ago. He said, nobody knows the judgment standard of God. Therefore, what do? Take heed that you stand. Let me tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, take heed that you stand. You see, the title of this message is Grace for Greatness. The Bible says, it said, come boldly unto where? Unto the throne of what? Grace. That you may obtain what? Mercy. After you obtain mercy, what follows? That is when you will now what? Obtain grace. For help to become great. You know, most of us in Christendom, inside a lot of Christians is what they call wickedness. Serious level of envy. Serious level of anger. People who cannot stand the success of other people. But I've come to realize that Christianity is beyond looking pious. Oh, bless you, brother. Bless you. God looks at the content of the heart of everybody. What is the content of your heart? If the final trumpet sounds today, can you go to heaven? You should ask yourself that question every day. You know, I was just meditating yesterday on the issue of mercy. Because a lot of us, we are counting on mercy as a driver to take us to heaven, not the works of our hand. Because a lot of us, the works of our hand cannot take us anywhere than to the other side. We are counting on mercy. And the Holy Spirit was letting me to know that who is even the custodian of this mercy? This mercy you even want. Whose discretion is this mercy? And the Bible, and the Holy Spirit took me to where the Bible said that I will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy. Who is the person who will show it? And I will show compassion unto whom I will do what? Show compassion. It is not of him that what? Runneth, nor of him that what? Willeth, but of who that showeth mercy? God. Wow, when I hear that, I say, eh. And there was a place where the Bible says that I will show mercies to the merciful. And the question is, do you show mercy to people in the affairs of your life when you have encounter with people? Have you satisfied God that will make God to be provoked to show you mercy? For example, the Bible says, it says there is joy in heaven for every soul that is converted to Christ. True of us. Let me ask you a question. No, I'm not the one that will ask you. Your neighbor will ask you. Say, neighbor, have you sown joy into heaven this year? You know what that means? Have you won any human being to Christ this year? That heaven will be provoked to show mercy unto you because of. Have you? As you are seated there, ask yourself, is there any soul you can say, this one is standing in Christ this year? This is the fruit of my hand, that I am the one that led this one to Christ. Can you point to anyone? Or it's just you and your household alone? As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Is that what you are doing? There are souls perishing out there. What effort are you making to win people to Christ? You see, some of us, we can only stand up and say, Father, have mercy on me. We don't have anything to say. Like Ezekiel, you are going to die. Say, Father, it is me. No. Have you forgotten how many souls I've brought to Christ? Have you forgotten how I have done this for you? Have you forgotten how I have served you diligently? How many of us can boldly say that, Lord, you won't do this because of this that I have done? How many of you are serving God in whatever capacity? In church? Or you just come to church, you sit down, you listen to message before they finish. What's that thing we use to finish this? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, it will meet you inside your car. Is that what you do? That is the issue of mercy. It says, I will show mercy. It is the prerogative of God to show mercy. It is when you now obtain that, when God now showed you that mercy, that you will now obtain the grace that you need for greatness. You know what that grace talks about? Grace talks about what? The unmerited favor. Let me read something to you in
you will understand it now. Let me read Amplified version of that scripture to you. It says, Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God unmerited favors to all sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help, well-timed help, coming just when it is needed. Coming just when you need it. Appropriate help, well-timed help, coming just when we need it. Now, look at it. Grace, what does it call grace? It says the throne of God's unmerited favor. Please, can you give me Luke 2:52? Let's look at something about favor. Luke 2:52. No, sorry. Luke 1:52. This is 2:5 now, Abby. Don't confuse me. I said 2:52. Good. This is it. Let's read this together. And Jesus increased in what? Wisdom and stature. And in favor with who? God and who? Man. Favor is in two dimensions. And we are talking of grace for greatness. That is unmerited favor for what? For greatness. We are talking of that before you can be great, you need to be in favor with God and man. There are two dimensions. You know something? Every blessing from God comes through men to you. Has any spirit visited you to give you money before? Have you woke up one day and you saw a lot of 1 billion in your account deposited by spirit or angel? No. Every blessing that God will give to you will come from God through men to your hand. How are you treating men? You want to be great and you don't honor men. You want to be great and you don't know how to treat fellow human being. Some of us, the little change we have in our hand, even 1 billion is a little change. The little change we have in our hand, what happened? We are like this. When they greet us, we answer with our nose. Good morning. We are too pompous. In fact, some of us, it's our beauty that is our problem. Because we are beautiful, we are well structured, you are not like me with bow leg and everything. Because your own leg is straight, what do? Your hand is like this. I'm saying to you today, if you want honor and you want greatness, treat men with honor. Help me tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, treat men with honor. Irrespective of their class in the community, in the society, because you are not their God. That person that looks irrelevant to you today might be up there tomorrow and you will need them. Have you seen a situation where some people have maltreated some people before? And the day they are to enter an office and sign something that will take them to their next level, it is that person they maltreated, they will seated on the seat. What do you think they will do? They won't even say anything. They will do what? Go back. In fact, there's a level you maltreated some people to. When you see them, even if it's telling you, come, I will sign, you will say, no, let me go. Because you know what the Bible says? First Chronicle 20:20. It says, let me read it. Complete. Give it to me. First Chronicle 20:20. Believe the Lord your God Anyway, it says, believe the Lord your God, and you'll be what? Established. But believe his prophet, and you will do what? Prosper. That scripture is a mystery. Everything God created answers to the word of God. And there are some people God has invested their power upon and their grace. They are called the prophets of God that God has put in place. When they speak and you believe it, your prosperity is guaranteed. But when they speak and you despise them, nothing will happen. The reason why a lot of people don't get a lot of things in church is because they despise the men of God. Who is it? Kilofeso? Or Kilonso? Please, let me help you tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, honor men of God. You see, about 20 something years ago, a man of God said something, and that thing has been the key in my relationship. That's why I can never sit down where anybody is criticizing any man of God. He said, once you don't know the man of God that God himself called, and the one that called himself, what do? Shut up your mouth. Because he said something. He said, touch not who? My anointed. And do my prophet no harm. God fights for his anointed. The frustration so many are facing today is because they have used their mouth to speak evil against the anointed of God. Such a person can never become great. You know why? Because God is the source of greatness. Let me read the scripture to us. Please, let's open to the book of 1 9 6 8. Let's open to the book of 1 Chronicles 29:11. You will see why you need to give God priority in the journey of greatness. It says, thine, O God, is the greatness and the power, and the glory and the victory and the majesty. That's where I'm going. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Who is the source of greatness? God. Help me tell your neighbor, say, serve God. Honor God. So, in the school of greatness, talent is 1%. 99% is hard work, discipline, and focus. Discipline, determination, focus are the necessary ingredients for greatness. Both in the marketplace and also in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. The Bible talks about the parable of the talent. One refused to invest the talent. And the reason that one refused to invest it is out of laziness, fear, and because of comfort zone mentality. The reason why so many people cannot be great is because they are already comfortable with the little they have. What do they call it? They call it tashere. I can feed. I can send my children to school. I have built a house. So I am comfortable. I know by the time I retire at 60, I will be collecting gratuity. I will be collecting pension. So I don't need to strive more. No. I am saying no. Get out of that comfort zone mentality. You are more than that. You are to feed the poor. At what point are you going to build house for the destitute? At what point are you going to build house to be feeding the poor? At what point are you going to build a school or you set up scholarship to be funding people whose children who cannot afford to send their children to school? It is not about you and your family alone. Greatness is beyond you. And greatness is what is achievable. Praise the Lord. Then another issue why people don't attain greatness is because they limit themselves. They don't only limit themselves alone, they also limit the Holy One of Israel. You know what I always look at? Anytime I hear that somebody is doing great, I ask for their picture. You know why I ask for their picture? To be sure, how many heads do they have? And I've not seen any great person that have two heads. It's only one head. And I've not seen any great person that have access to 30 hours per day. We all have access to how many hours? 24 hours a day. But the question now is, how do you spend your own hours? That is what will determine if you are going to be great or not. The little things you do, do you do them excellently? Most of us are not excellent. Most of us are not. But if you want to be great, you must be an excellent person. Let me tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, be an excellent person. And God Almighty will help us in Jesus' name. For you to be great, one evil you have to fight is called laziness. Laziness. You must fight laziness, especially youth. I beg you in the name of God, fight laziness. You must know where you are going. And especially we parents, let us raise godly children. Let us raise children that are, you see, like me, there are some things I can't do again. As anointed as Reverend Ige, can he still be a footballer like Ronaldo? No. If he dares run to the fence and run back again, who knows, we might use ambulance. Because why? He has passed that level. But we can still raise great children. And that is why I'm going to end my talk about greatness. Because the Holy Spirit said, if you have passed some certain age, raise children. Please, there are some things about raising children that you cannot handle yourself. You must have mentors that you have seen that have raised the kind of children you want, or that are raising children very well. Do it. Please. You see, humorously, one day, anytime I go out, I have this, my son, very, very trickish boy. Ah! You can't catch that boy. We took him to one school. In that school, they said there's no trouble they form. He will be part of it, but they have never catch him. We brought him home. We took him to another school. In that school, within 1 month, he became the star in that school. We withdrew him again. We took him to another school. In fact, every day we locked the door of our room because of him. We collected the key from him. He took the key back. We asked him, where is the key? He said, no, it's not with him. So one day I was with Reverend again, with my wife. And he's inside the car. I said, ah, pastor, this boy that, you know, you say you love this boy. This boy's wala is too much for us. So he's doing this and this and this. Pastor Reverend now said, okay, why not change the narratives? Why is he always taking the key of your room? I said, eh. He said, ask him, why is he always taking the, what do you want in that room? I said, I know he always wants the laptop, he wants the phone, he wants this. Okay, arrange with him. You will give him laptop, so hours, you'll give him food, so hours. Do you know something? We always beat him, we always punish him, we pour water on his body, we do everything. Do you know that day, we got home and I put him inside the car. We drove out. I said, what exactly do you want in our room? Okay, this and this. Okay, now let's track a bargain. This time, I give it to you. This one, I give you data. You use it. Once it's 9 p.m., you return the phone. And I said, is that a deal? It's a deal. And we go back home. Do you know, without asking him, he returned our key to us? Do you know, since that day, we don't stress ourselves to lock the door of our room anymore? When I'm going, I will lock the door. I will see where he is. Dodge it inside one place. In fact, the stress we face to keep key is too much. But now, we don't lock door anymore. Just because I got a cancer, change the narratives. You know, let me tell you something. No man is an island. I will rather go for cancer to train and let my children end up great than to be shy that, am I also not a pastor? Today we are best of friends just because we changed the narratives. What narrative are you going to change concerning yourself today? I was listening to a man of God yesterday night. He said, a man said to him when he wanted to go and marry that in marriage there will always be issue. He said, no, there can't be issue in my own marriage. He said, how will you do it? That it is not possible for the two of you not to step on each other's toe. He said, it's a lie. I will step on the toe. He said, there are only two things you need to step on people's toe. He said that you are blind to step on the person's toe. He said, and I'm not blind. Or you are wicked to deliberately step on the person's toe. He said, I am not blind and I'm not wicked, so I will not step on my wife's toe. And he said, since then, we never have issues. I now think about it. I now look at it that truly, truly, if you are not blind, the only way you can step on people's toe is when you are wicked. Because in most cases, some husbands or some wife, inside them, they are laughing with their wife, oh, but inside them, I will show you pepper in this house. And they will continually be doing things that will make that woman to be frustrated. I say to you, if you are in this place and you are deliberately frustrating your wife or your husband, you are a wicked person. Stop the wickedness. Every home represented in New Covenant Church, Temidire or Onireke, should be a sweet home. Let every husband be able to come to their house after work in peace. Let every woman be able to also come back home in what? In peace. Every home is supposed to be in peace. Let every work of wickedness stop, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Let's rise up. The journey of greatness in the kingdom and also in the marketplace needs discipline, determination, dedication, focus, and a deliberate decision that, look, I will make it no matter what it takes. I will not go to hell. I will make heaven. No matter what it takes, I will not end up a mediocre. I will end up a great person in my field, in my career. It is your choice. I want you to pray this morning that, Father, the grace for greatness, release it upon me today in the mighty name of Jesus. Pray that prayer for yourself this morning. That, Lord, release upon me the grace for greatness in the mighty name of Jesus. Pray for yourself this morning. That, Lord, I can of my own do it. Release upon me the grace to be great in the name of Jesus.